Town one over, and this is the visit with Willie on Saturday, the 27th of March, 1971. And this is just half of it. This is a visit with Willie this Saturday, Willie and Sybil. But this is only Willie's part. This Saturday at noon, the Before We Eat, the 27th of March, 1971.
No, it's fine, thank you.
I won't put these things in that. And here it is, the last of March.
And it's cold enough out there to have an old coat.
What you think? You can't even tell what's going on here.
Gosh.
Chilly
everywhere. I won't really sit over here by the stove.
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm doing
warm. Yeah.
Excellent. All
right. That's
up. And it's, if we get too cold, too hot, I go to coffee.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, let me cut this down.
You got some new shoes? Oh, no. That's just something that. Shine
kind, I don't
know what to call it.
Give
a glass of water,
Faye. No,
thank you.
We'll go out there in a minute. Let that wind settle down just a little bit.
Sybil and Mother are catching up on a few little things that Mother's making.
Yeah.
In there.
This dead burn thing, Willie, makes so much noise.
Maybe it's supposed to.
Now what? What? Now you see, this one don't make any noise, it squeaks. But this just, you can't. Yeah, look at that.
Well, I mean, you got a little more in this chair here rather than you have the one you're sitting on.
Yeah. Listen at it.
Why he just barking? Mm-hmm. That's the end of your coat.
Look here. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Oh, yeah.
Look that way.
See, he don't stay long. He's the
man that just bows with his finger out.
But he is the aristocrat. He don't eat and stuff like some of those.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You take that home, feeding them cows, grain. They, just flock in there, you know.
Oh.
Sometimes you look around.
I got you.
You look around, you know, and the ground looks like the ground froze and flew off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you'd be surprised to feed the hog off. Great thing. You go with hogs and feed. Well, I love to see him eat it. Now, you see, he's standing up there on that little post now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have one of those out of your window, breakfast window there?
Oh, no, man. I ain't got time to be watching birds.
Well, you can do that while you're eating.
Time I sit down and eat, and the birds ain't even thought about getting out yet.
Oh, but you know, I woke up this morning at 5:30, and it just getting light. And I thought to myself, well, now Miss Daisy down here, she's just rolling out now. And Willie, and of course over there in his community,
they ain't even turned over yet. I didn't get up till 9 o'clock. Well, as a rule, I don't get up anyway until about 9. But I went up Thursday night and worked. First night I worked this week, I didn't have one night to make. I had like 8 hours and a half, 40, and
yeah.
So. they don't like for you to have any holding time, you know.
Oh.
And so I had 8 hours holding time, and I claimed 24-hour sick time. So I had to work 8 hours and make 40 hours, see?
Mm-hmm.
And, this Whittington boy went up to work up there, take the old man's place.
Mm-hmm.
He liked 8 hours and having 40 hours in last week. So, the only way that he could build or add to his a catch up on that was to work a night for me.
Yeah.
And so I didn't work last night. I stayed home.
What been your symptoms?
Flu.
Just plain flu.
That's the first time I ever had. I guess I've had it before, but it didn't last as long.
What?
It didn't last as long, or it wasn't as severe, or whatever you want to call it. It's just maybe I was just in a running down condition. You see, I haven't had any cold or anything in 2 years or longer. And I've been feeling kind of run down and bad for a month or two. Ever since Christmas, seemed like I've been, going down. Then all of a sudden, this thing jumps on me.
Yeah. You up there where you can expose to a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. But I didn't see, Eddie Whittington got it too. And his wife got it where she's exposed to everything. That's at school down at Reading, North Marion High School.
Yeah.
She brought it home to him, and then he brought it to the work job to me.
Yeah.
And so, all in all,
what did it do? Did it have headaches and one thing or another?
No, I didn't have headaches that much. I had started off with an awful sore throat, chest.
Yeah.
Pain in my chest.
Oh.
Oh, man, I had. And around back here, underneath both lungs, on both sides.
Yeah.
Man, that thing got hurting me so bad Sunday. Well, today a week back was Sunday. Got hurt so bad I couldn't hardly breathe.
Yeah.
And then,
oh, really?
Got some of that deep heat. Still rubbing my back with it, and it stopped it.
It did?
Yeah, it just about. Well, you might well say it made it stop. And then,
it gave you some relief.
Oh, yes. I mean. And then, I went to the doctor, and he gave me a shot and a bunch of medicine. I just, come by the drugstore, paid for it. I didn't have enough money. I bought me some, bought me some, grain to sow. And by the time I got around to paying for my drugs, I didn't have enough of money. So I just took a little skin flint down there and put it on the hook, see, and I'd take it up left.
Oh.
So I went by there and paid $18 just for a shot and two little old bars of pills.
You mean down at the doctor's down there? $18 for a shot and two little boxes of pills.
Right. $18 for a shot and two little boxes of pills. I think there's
12 pills
in one, and there's 16 in the other, I believe. Either 14 or 16.
Yeah.
I know there's several more than one.
Well, you gotta pay a income tax, you know.
You gotta have something to pay it with.
Yes.
And people, I'm telling you, it's a shame. But you know, they've been talking about socialized medicine.
Yeah.
That's where, you know, instead of these people getting so rich, they like this drugs down here. He charged me $7.95. That's not a bit of medicine. And it ain't worth it. But you gotta have something.
Yeah.
And you gotta have, if even if they give you just a little flour pill, you know, something, a little dough rolled up, a little sugar on it, which didn't cost them hardly, well, possibly, one tenth of 1% of whatever they charge you. And, but you take it, you know, and you feel like, well, it's doing you good. Whether it is or not, it's a, what do you call it, psychological effect.
Yeah.
A psychological effect.
There's a colored water.
Yeah. Just like the old man, I was looking at TV here the other day, which I looked at a lot here this week. Ain't been doing nothing. And this old man had been taking these little was it pills or liquid? I don't remember now what it was anyway. There wasn't nothing to it. And the old man that, the doctor that had been giving him these pills, went amiss or something, died, got sick. And his daughter, or his nurse, was kind of, you know, helping this new doctor get in the business with his everything. And so she just said, well, so this is, there's no medical term here for this stuff, whatever it is that he's been giving us, old man. And so she was a lady doctor. So she said she just quit drinking, because it wasn't doing no good. But the thing about it was, it wasn't doing no harm either.
Yeah.
So that's the way it is with a lot of
you. Well, you know, it's so depressing. That's the one thing about getting sick. It's depressing just to think about all that. You're just making people rich.
Oh, yes.
Now, if you wanna just go ahead and divide the wealth, share the wealth, that's the way to do it. Get sick. You know, I've thought about that a lot of times. If a fella could get sick, and I'd have to be burdened with all that doctor stuff, and then if he had something that wasn't catching, where he could sit back and talk to his friends a little bit, now that'd be the way to get sick, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. But it don't come that way.
Well, now, you haven't even felt, have you been catching all week? Contagious?
Have I what?
Have you been contagious all this week?
I wouldn't think so. I think usually the rule when you such as this is in the beginning of, just like, you know,
yeah,
Sunday and Monday of last, Saturday, Sunday and Monday of last week, I think that then was whenever I should have been careful of being spreading it, you know, or giving it to somebody else.
Yeah.
I think then whenever I should have been.
Well, now, when you're there just sitting there watching television, you don't have the pain.
Oh, no.
And you can talk.
But the only thing is, with me now, I don't know why, but it's still, I'm dizzy. I don't know what it's medicine I'm taking or I can't seem to get over that dizziness.
Yeah.
And of course, my chest is still congested. And I don't know why. It looked like usually it's rude most of the time whenever you take a shot, you know, penicillin will clear up. Everything just goes away just about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But mine is not even thought about going away. And I just about done taking up all that $8 worth of medicine.
Well, now, my experience is, if I stay in the house and don't get hot or cold or something like that, my chest don't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
But you let me step outdoors a day like this, or on a good day, go out there and get hot,
mm-hmm.
and you hear from it. I hear from it.
Well, I think that's what made mine worse. I went ahead and worked. Friday night and Saturday night. I should have stayed home.
Yeah.
Well, Eddie Whittington was in such a condition until he couldn't go. He was sick. And, of course, I never had been sick like this before. And I said, well, I'm having my worst troubles right now. And I said, but I still can go. I said, I don't feel bad. I can make it all right. So I called him and told him, I said, well, I'll go up and work for you. I said, I don't feel too bad. And that's when where I made a bad mistake. I should have been home in bed or out of the weather.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I got up there, and Saturday night I had a chill. I mean, I had a natural one of these old-timey shaking chills.
Oh.
I mean, it rocked me from the bottom up. I said, great. I'm sick. I never got so sick on my stomach. And weak. I got so weak I couldn't go. And so I hung around there about 12 o'clock and I left.
Yeah.
Come home, and I didn't go back to more on a Thursday night. And actually, I didn't do anything Thursday night. I just hung around there until about 12 o'clock to come home.
Yeah.
But thing that I shouldn't have done was work Friday and Saturday night. I'd have been over mine now. I'd have been in good shape. But like it is, I just asked for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the weather changed awful quick.
Yeah.
Or either was running a temperature and didn't realize it. I left the house Thursday afternoon with just this little thin thing on you see through it.
Yeah.
Well.
As a windbreak.
Mm-hmm. I got up there at 9 o'clock.
It makes so much racket. I don't know how you're wearing.
It does make a lot of racket.
Yeah.
I went out on the, come out that guard shack, you know, to make a round.
Yeah.
And either the wind had got up, it got awful cold, or either I had a fever, you know, and sitting in that shack with a heater on, I didn't pay too much mind. And then all of a sudden, whenever I walked out, man, I had to turn around and go back. That thing just hit me, and I just went like that, you know, all over. I didn't look like I got high from anything.
Yeah.
I just, after a bit, after shaking to death, I got weak then. And,
you never had a chill when you was growing up?
Oh, yeah. Long years when I was a child.
Yeah.
Used to have that old fever, chill and fever they called.
Can you remember?
Mm-hmm. Sick. Ooh, God.
Can you remember shaking?
Yes, sir. And I'd beg mama to put a cover on me, and she'd just have pops of thick, you know, and even put pillars.
Yes, all that cover didn't do any good.
Didn't do a big deal.
You think it was malaria at that time? I can remember malaria.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. But you can... You can almost taste that. I can. The other night, I could almost taste that old fever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back then, of course, the way we overcome that was through this old bone set.
Uh-huh.
Everybody in the community had it. Of course, back then, you know, 40 years ago, people was more or less confined, whether they were sick or not, to one area.
Yeah.
It didn't shift like they do now, you know, all over the country.
Yeah.
We knew everybody, though, in a radius of so many miles, because back then we did. And, come Saturday, everything was laid aside, and we went around this.
Yeah.
And, of course, people helped each other more. But I know this old woman, she was real old. And various ones had this old malaria fever. Seemed like constantly, you know, all the time, you know, they had fever. Either they'd be bucking to keep from working or something. I remember their dad say, well, I don't know whether he's got sickness or not. He just wants people to go around, you know, and work for him. Back then, when the man was sick, like, everybody picked him, did his work for him. Had somebody go down there with his cows every morning, every night, and they would feed his chickens and his cows and his hogs and everything, you know, and work his crop for him. And I remember hearing Daddy say, you know, sometimes he thought that some of the people, you know, was just wanted somebody to work for him. And one man I remember used to say, well, and you talk about getting sick a while ago, you could just sit back, you know, and enjoy it. This old man, he apparently, from what Daddy used to say, he's going to sit back and enjoy it. Because he'd know, you know, that it seemed like his crop would always would get bad, you know, before he'd give up. Or before he'd actually start to putting on the complaints, you know. And then everybody going there, you know, they'd weed his crop out and everything, work it out for him, and then he'd be all right.
who was that, Roy?
Pardon?
Who was that?
This fellow by the name of Williams.
Have I heard you talk about him?
No, they did. I don't guess there's anybody to that living in that family. They were just an old couple within themselves.
Now, was that the old woman you had, man?
Oh, no. This old woman that had told Daddy about getting this bone set, a weed out of the woods, you know.
Yeah.
And boy, it'd make a tea. She, her name was Linda, and she would go around, you know, telling people how to get well, you know. Kind of a, what do you used to call them women?
The midwives.
Midwife.
Oh.
And she knew a lot about herbs and things, you know.
Oh, I'd love to have talked about it to them, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. Sure would.
You see, at that time, you didn't appreciate them.
Oh, no.
But now, you'd love to hear what they had to say, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes, sir. But I can remember she, Daddy got this. She told Daddy where to get this. You have to go to a wet area, you know, where the ground is wet, kind of springy-like. You find this plant growing, and, I never get that stuff. There ain't nothing in the world any better than that.
Bones.
Yeah, I've heard the name, though.
Bitter. Ooh, good gracious.
Well, with it, now you can't even get your own family to come help you if your crop needs weeding out.
They say, well, if you need any help, now just call.
Yeah.
And, if you need any help, just call.
What's Frankie looked awful healthy over there the other Saturday. He didn't look like he's hurting himself working.
He ain't doing too much right now. His job is on the verge of, well, it's actually, you know, the old man's there. I sold all this cow just about, except 8-10 head. And, he only works 3 days a week. The rest of the time he's fiddling around, but.
Well, that's enough if a man can live on it.
Oh, yeah. But, now he had this thing last year, I didn't think he was ever going over it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had a time. Just about as bad. Well, I guess he had a little harder time than I did because he was in bed. In bed for, seemed like close to 10 days, 2 weeks.
Well, what's the old man Zetrawa doing with just 8 or 10 cows?
Well, he's got to have a cow around till he dies.
He don't need them.
No, man. He's got some of his choice stock that he kept out of the herd, you know. Something he picked out just to have to play with it, look at it. But, you know, he leased his is past he left.
Yeah. And well, what does Frankie do over there?
Just fools around. He just goes up and fools around without him.
Gets paid for it?
Yeah. I was paying him more now. It's just fools around. He used to pay him to work. That's right. Frankie worked there for years. $1 an hour. And he's paying $1.40, $1.50, $1.60 an hour or something like that.
And just fooling.
Yeah, just piddling around.
How did you ever, what, how... Now, you never hired out to Mr. Zetfrauen, but you still got in with him on things.
I worked, I still do all the electrical work, and some carpentry work, not much, mostly electrical work. And, in fact, last fall, he bought a heater, electric heater woman. Took it up for him, and I did. I don't know, I wasn't up. I think it wasn't up to a par or something. And I hooked it up on P20 and blew it up. Sold wholesale for about $26-$27. And I knew what the trouble was as soon as it happened. I clicked it on, and a little light come on. I said, well, it works. I was in a hurry to get to work. Job, you know. And so, Miss Zetra, after I left, she turned it on. It just melted the grill off the front of it. So, of course, they get very excited about these things, you know. And then when it comes to have this raising stand, ooh, he was all upset.
How'd he do it? How'd he do it?
Something about the heater wasn't just exactly right. And so, I said, well, I'll check on it.
How'd he raise his hand with
it? Oh, he just tell me that he thought it was in the fault of the company, you know, built the heater. He just, you know, they better ought to do something about it. And so, when I told him, I said, well, I said, it wasn't the fault of the heater. I said, the fault of me. What? I said, well, I just hooked it up on 220. It's a 110 heater.
You did?
I said, I sure did. And I said, I've ruined it. But I said, I'll buy you a new one. Oh, no, you won't. No. And you know what he done? He went right on that afternoon and bought another one. So that I wouldn't buy one, see. And I put it in for him and I told him, I said, I won't charge you anything for putting it in. And I said, I'm going to pay you for the heater. Oh, no, he wouldn't hear that. No, sir, he'd get upset quick. But if it'd be anybody else to tear it up, if he didn't pay for it, he'd call the law. I don't know, he just had a way about it. A lot of people can't run for a reason. I give in to him, you know. I know his condition. I know how he is. And if he wants something bad enough, he gonna pay for it. Whether I do it or whoever does, see. But the thing about it is, he knows that I humor him. And this man come out and painted the roof, charged him, I think about $100 and some odd just to paint that roof. Well, the roof wasn't. And I told him, I said, that stuff ain't no good. I said, good hard rain and wash it off. Oh, no, man, guaranteed good. I said, well, I believe them same people been in trouble with the law up around Gainesville. I said, I think that's the same bunch. They done chased them out. No, he said, this man, he come from over there around Archer somewhere and said, he gave me his address and said that he lives over there at Archer. So, about week or two, three maybe, month, it rained, the roof leaked. Man guaranteed it wouldn't leak anymore. And so the rust began to show back through at the spots. Well, he got on the phone and called Archie, called his number, and it's not this number is a phony number, see? And this address is a phony address. But I found out about it, because he was trying to get the law, you know, to get his money back. He wouldn't say anything to me about it. And so his wife said to me, he said, well, said, you know what you telling them about the paint on the roof, I said. She said, well, so these people were hoax, so they just come through and they beat us out of this money and left. And said, you told that he wouldn't listen to you. And I said, I want you to mention it to me. I said, I won't never mention it to him unless he mentions it to me. She said, that's the trouble with you. She said, you don't never say nothing to him about what he does. And says, that's the reason he always likes you. And he'll go to you for, a buffer. In other words, if he figures somebody's beating, you know, he'll come to me, you know, ask me what I think about it. But if he figures that I'm going to say, I told you so, he won't say nothing. He just out of way. He ain't never mentioned that roof.
Yeah.
You know, I ain't mentioned it. And he knows this. See, he knows I don't give him a hard time or I don't say what I told you so.
Yeah.
So he don't say it.
Well, now, he was going to take out those windows, those little windows, and put in the big windows. What do you call those?
Take out an awning window, a jalous window,
jalous,
put in an awning window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't humor in that time.
Oh, yeah. But he's something. Yeah, so first, you know, those old windows. I didn't want them myself, but I said something about what is he going to do with them, you know. Said, well, so and so, I don't got know what he's going to do. So, old Jesse, nigga, was standing there, you know. And so he says something about the wonders, you know, the old Jesse used to use the wonders to stop up holes in his wall. And
is that right?
He says, he just wondered if Mr. Albert was going to use them wonders. I said, no, he ain't going to use them wonders. I said, he don't have any need for them. And so then he takes three of them. Have Frankie and old Jesse carry him out to the barn out there, the old truck shed. And for me to get a bull, I think that's what you're talking about. He wants me to buy this bull. Or he's got this bull to sell. That's a oddball. And he tells me if I put the wonders in. I never did put them wonders in. Never have. The old wonders in the back of that old garage out there. If I put the wonders in, he let me have a bull for $200. He wanted $360, see. But if I put the windows in, he let me have a bull for $250, I believe it was. And something else I do, you know, I kept going on, you know, until finally I get the bull for about $150. Actually, he'd be just as well off to give me the bull and save money. He goes around in such a finagling way, you know, trying to, he don't want to say, I give you anything. And he stingy. But he don't want to hurt your feelings. If he figures he's ever going to need you, he ain't going to hurt your feelings. Not right off, anyway. He'll wind up, you know, giving you something that don't amount to a whole lot. Or this bull deal now. You see, I got a bull that comes from his stock.
Yeah.
from Frankie.
But not that same bull?
Not that same bull. Now, he was selling those bulls for $360.
Yeah.
But he said this bull had a little something wrong with it. And actually, what it was such a little old insignificant something that I just don't remember. But anyway, rather than for him to have to run the bull over or sell it on the market for beef, hamburger, he'd rather sell it to me for $150, see, and know that I'd use it for a stock bull.
Yeah.
But I didn't buy it. Another fellow did venture to buy it. They wasn't paid him $360.
Yeah.
For a stock bull. He's a sport there, and they all. Now, I never did do too much work for Elbert's brother.
Uh-huh.
They twins, Elbert and Albert.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then there's one daughter, you know, Eula. Her husband was a school teacher. She's a school teacher there in Kennedyville somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
He was, seemed like he worked out at the university. He was some kind of instructor or professor.
I never heard you talk about Elbert.
Elbert lives out on the corner. But he didn't. I did a little work for him, but you know, Albert wouldn't use me because Albert used me.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Albert, he don't like, in other words, you might, you know, get your conversation, tangled up between the two of them, or one might tell you one thing and another one something else, get your stories over there.
Yeah.
So you just don't work, you work for Albert, you work for Albert, you work for Albert, you work for Albert.
They found out that's the best.
That's the way it always has been. I did a little work for Albert. I built some water trough sheds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps a little bit. But, it don't completely do away with that old growth that comes in the water trough.
Yeah.
It helps, eh?
What did you put out?
Built a roof over them, tin, sheet metal roof, you know.
Yeah.
Tin roofs over all the water trough.
Yeah.
He got them, I don't know, I built five or six different stations where he got water troughs, you know.
Yeah. Well, Willie, wouldn't that be better working around like that for those fellas? There's plenty to do. Wouldn't that be better than hiring out up there in town?
Well, that's true. There's plenty to do. And anytime you work for them folks, you get your money. And they pay you well, but then you got they just one out of 100 that'll pay you off or pay you what you charge.
Oh, really?
Most of the people out in that vicinity out there, they still want you to work on that same old basis 100 years back. So.
Dollar an hour.
And, right. cost of living has gone up way over.
Yeah. Well, now, you say Albert is, he pretty much was sport?
Well, in one in a thousand, he's a different sport to what you ever heard tell of. Say for instance, he'd get mad and raise his hand, cuss, and carry on.
Yeah.
He'll pay you whatever he owes you now. And, but at the end of it, but you know, he never has, he can't write a check. There ain't no telling how many $100,000 he's worth, and he can't write a nickel worth of good money.
Oh, really?
He went in bankruptcy back before World War II, and, he never has attempted to try it, so I've been told to clear his name. Everything's still his wife's name.
And,
Is that right?
Right now, he'll pay any bit, anything he owes. But he won't pay off his old debt.
Yeah. So he must owe Ryan Smart.
So I've been told. I don't know exactly how much I've heard, but I don't remember how much it was. But
$50,000.
Most of it, no. I just imagine back then $3,000 have been the extent of his debt.
Yeah.
Which he's made. Well, up until last fall, a year ago, he didn't have any cows last fall sale. Well, up until then, he'd sell $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 worth of cows. Yeah. Every fall. You see, what he does is he gets these experts, you know, himself, and they grade these cows out, you know, and they have these feeder sales, you know, state feeder sales or state heifer show days, you know, bulls, when they have a bull sale, you know, he always have bulls in those sales and heifers. And when he sell his feeders, he'd have 75, 80, you know, and it'd be just the same thing. He grades them down the same thing. He don't have, everything got to be to perfection. Each one looks just like the other. And so whenever he gets a check, it all looks like there ain't nothing wrong with it either.
Mm-hmm.
That's just type, that's the way he farmed all the time. Everything had to be just right.
Yeah.
But anyway, he... he's made enough money. On one or two bull sales there to pay off his indebtedness in 1 year. And he worked at this thing since 1940. Back right after World War II, he ordered a bull from some part of the country, I haven't gotten out where. And when it come, it was the biggest cow anybody in that community had ever seen. Never seen a cow. Weighed around 2 tons. I mean, weighed around a ton.
A ton,
2,000
yeah.
pounds, man.
Yeah.
And they had to have a special foot doctor to come out there after, you know, while he got to. It was in a different part. It seemed like where he was raised, it was hard ground or something, you know, maybe it's on concrete. I would put him out in a soft field, you know, on oats, and it was soft. And his feet began to give way. He had to doctor his feet there all the time for a while. I remember. And it was some of the bears, black bears. Breeders from other parts of the state, you know, was coming in. Al was a big shot, man. He had a bull that weighed so much, and people was coming. See, 2/3 of the university was out all the time looking at that bull.
Yeah. Hell, that'd turn a man's head, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, sir.
And you was over there, too?
Oh, I was there. Yeah, I was living right down the road whenever he bought it. Right after. Well, it was in 48, I believe. 47, 48. I come home in 46. I was discharged in 46. And it might be he got that bull in 47. But,
Well, Willie, you were right there next to him, or close to him. You could have just worked in with him.
Hmm. I worked one fall, and not, well, actually, I worked with his daddy that spring. And we made a little money. And then he wanted me to continue to work with him. I told him, no, man. If I'm going to farm and I got a share crop, I'm just going to quit altogether. Because I said, actually, and this is the truth, if a man can afford to carry it and make a crop for another fellow that's got plenty of money, how come he can't make a crop for himself when he's broke?
Yeah.
He can go out and do the same thing. And Albert was needing some help. Albert's health was bad at the time. In fact, Dennis, that fall, he had a kidney removed. And he wanted me to kind of work for him, you know. I worked by the hour. I never finished that. I think he paid me $3 a day.
Yeah.
Piddling around the farm there.
Well, that wasn't too good, was it?
Well, it wasn't too bad. He was paying the niggers too. And,
yeah.
So, we cooled around there until it started about time to plant the fall crop. And he wanted me to plant some squash with him, but I did, and I shouldn't have. Didn't make no money off of it. Went in the hole.
I know.
Yeah, wasn't hoping. And the little money that I made. Now I was going. Let's see, how much did they pay? I believe it's $30 a week on that GI Bill of Rights deal. I was going at $30 a week. I drew that for 4 years. That's where I made my bad mistake. Instead of using that to some good advantage, I just used. See, I had they paid me I believe it was $30, maybe a little bit more than that, $35 a week to go to school.
Yeah.
And you only had to go one night a week, see. And which was big money. Back then, that was big money. So that was more than I was making, you know, if I'd been hard grubbing. Well, I was supposed to have some kind of crop growing all the time. And the only way, see, I could draw this was that I had farm property. I had property. And my intentions were to farm, be a bona fide farmer. Well, that was as far wrong, I guess, as anything could be, because of course, the instructor was just as much or more at fault than I was. Or anyway, if any time you did not prove up, any week you didn't prove up, or any month, you could be cut off, see. And they could take that money away from you. Well, they never did do that, you know. I never did know of any that got put out. Some of them never come. I went to school every week. I'd go attend the classes, you know.
Yeah.
And
just one night.
One night a week. And I went and didn't miss any. Now a lot of the boys, you know, they'd go just every other week. They'd go once in a while. And if you missed two nights in a row, you're supposed to end up for 1 week's wages, you know. But anyway, I didn't take advantage of that. I should have, instead of fooling with that, I should have put my time into something else, possibly, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Or either went deeper into farming instead of just fooling along there. And what I did that fall, I worked with Albert, and I wasn't supposed to. But the instructor let me do it anyway, see. And he paid me. Like I say, I don't remember now, maybe it's $3 a day. Or maybe it's $6 a day.
Yeah. But even so, that wasn't as much as you getting for going to school.
Oh, no. For doing that. And That's what I say, I could have been working my place, which that's what they was paying me to do, to work myself in a position where I could work without depending on other farmers or other people.
Yeah.
And instead of that, I was over there renting land from Tom, Dick, and Harry, and going in the whole truck farm.
Yeah.
And if I'd have taken that 4 years, and I've fixed up, well, see, I cleared up the first year I was out there harming. I cleared up that little field, that 5 acres there with a brother holding axe. And I did I did that part of the time whenever I was drawing that money. But, and I had got a bulldozer back then for a fourth of what it costs now.
Yeah.
Or less. But I didn't figure I could afford it.
Well, what did you have in mind? Were you just sort of drifting?
Just drifting. And, you know, I was doing, when I laid a crop by, I'd go out and wire a house.
Oh.
And I wired these nigger shacks and things around brush lots, you know, and all around over the countryside.
You get your money?
Yes, I'd get what I'd charge. And if I'd have stuck with what I was supposed to been doing instead of running around like that, and the instructor knew what I was doing too. I didn't try to hide it from nobody. He could have had my money cut off, see, and then I would have had to went somewhere where I could have made enough to support my family.
Now, where was you living then, Willie?
Well, I was living over there on the road going to Walkahoo one 18 months. And then another short while I lived on the road going toward McNook from the crossroads at Chilo.
Yeah.
Little house sitting up on the curb.
Yeah.
I lived in that house. And I moved from there to where I built.
Now, you haven't lived in your old home place there since you was a boy.
Mm-mm. I don't guess I've spent the night there since I got married.
Oh, really? When did you get married?
1943.
Before you went to the army? When you went to the army?
Just before, about a year before I went to service.
Yeah. Faye?
Yeah.
Can we help you?
No, you can just stay right here.
Well, I'm satisfied right here.
Visit with.
Making a change, it'll be for the worse.
Oh.
Sybil and Mamu are visiting in there, and Mamu's showing Sybil all the things she makes. And they're just talking big.
Yes.
And I'm going to see about these potatoes and put on a little something we'll eat in a minute.
Do you remember we were sitting down there in your living room and you got off on something else, and I told you I was still thinking about that, overhauling the car that we was talking about,
the tractor.
How'd we get off on Joe?
Oh,
Joe Farnbaugh.
Oh, Brian Farm.
Yes.
For that same tractor.
Yes.
Buying parts for that same tractor. I tell you, that tractor business is something else. I got to buy, need to buy, Foley's regulator or either a generator one. I hope I'd rather be Foley's regulator. Generator, if you get an airtight, dust tight generator for Ford, I think it's kept $50 bill. What I think I'll do is just pick me up an 06 boat generator somewhere to fit that thing, a junkyard generator. goes to the bath, throw it away and go get another. Although, I doubt this generator's ever had anything done with it since it was built in 1952.
Oh, really?
I doubt it.
It held up pretty well.
It held up extremely well. The old voltage regulator is original equipment. You know, they put they got a lead seal on those old parts. They used to have them on car parts long back in the early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And that seal never had been broken. Like this, I couldn't prize the part of the screwdriver. I had to take the thing over to the Emery and cut that thing off of the Emery to get it to the lid to come off where I could look inside, you know.
Yeah.
But I can't tell what possibly it is. Might be a little something. It looks a little heated up in there, but.
You have to have a little gauge to put it on.
Yeah, you need
to check it.
Need a tester.
But you don't have any place where you can buy parts.
Not the tractor. I can buy some car parts fairly cheap, but you can't. It's just hard to buy tractor parts. I don't know. You just can't hardly get them. Well, after you go, right to the track people.
Yeah. And then they stick it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It looked to me like about all they want to sell to now is to the rich people.
Mm-hmm.
See, down there in your county, you live down there in that rich county.
Mm.
All those horse farms, they don't have to sell to anybody but those horse people.
And they get fat.
Yeah.
Well, what they do, I don't know where they put the old used tractors at.
Yeah.
But them horse people always buy and trade and buy.
Yeah.
And I don't ever see a used tractor much with any other than something real old now. Ford down there at Ocala's got a 8-in like this new guy, painted up just like a new one.
Yeah.
Ain't a dent in it. Got that thing painted up, looks like a brand new 8-in.
Yeah. And it's...
You know how much you gonna want for it?
$2,000.
You know, like that, it won't $2,000, but I bet you it'll want $1,000. If I'd have felt good yesterday, and if it felt so doggy bad, I was going to stop by there and ask them how much they wanted for it.
They will rebuild one for you, the motor, all the parts, for $500. And the parts cost them...
they probably have to put about... Well, now, if they buy sleeves,
testing, yeah,
and the whole shebang, they have about $100 in parts.
Yeah.
Because they won't either. Because now we're speaking about people who can buy wholesale, and they won't have that. Now, with you, if you went in there to buy a set of sleeves for that tractor of yours, and I imagine that thing would run you $50 maybe.
Yeah.
And they could go in there and buy the same thing for probably $10.
Yeah. Well, now, Willie, there ought to be for a fellow like you. You sort of got one foot in the business. You've done a lot of that work. There ought to be some place where you could buy.
Well, what do you do your hand like that and everything goes popping over here? I'm of this nature. I I'm not going to get down on my knees and beg a man, but I will do it well.
Yeah, but you don't get much doing.
No. But, you can finagle.
You remember old Johanna? Johanna had a catalog there that you could order out of. And I checked some of the parts, and it was supposed to be just for, you know, just for, if I'd ordered my name, they wouldn't have sent it to me. But he could have ordered it, and they sent him. But see, the service station, there wasn't much difference in the price.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't worth the trouble of ordering, you see. I forget what I checked with him on. It was something that was cost a good bit, but it wasn't anything, you know, special to it. What was that? Oh, I don't know, something like a bumper. It wasn't a bumper, but something like that. See, you couldn't go wrong hard on a bumper.
Think it's about time for us to eat a little bit?
Oh, Lord, yeah.
Okay, I'll make a little. I'll get us going.
Yes,
yeah.
Get us going.
Joe, as I told you before, this turned me a favor to you, know. Got me started fooling me, see, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got manifold now. That old manifold on that AM busted. I went down to Ford place in Ocala and priced it. And, I don't know, $15-$20 difference in their price. The price of the one I got.
Yeah.
Ford place in Gainesville is a little higher now than the Ford place in Ocala. I'm kind of different than locality.
I can't hear over that. Let me get my jacket.
I'm going to.
No, go ahead.
Well, I can do it out here.
Well, put it out there then.
Yeah, I think that'd be better. Because I'm going to that triple washer.
That's all right. I just couldn't.
Couldn't hear.
In the old Ocala price was less than Gainesville.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And anyway, they had. You talking about Johanna having that catalog?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Farnbar got a catalog. That's, I mean, about the same thing. It's a kind of an outlaw looking outfit. I mean, it appears to be, you know.
Well, is this socket out here all right for me to put the skillet on?
Yes,
it's just a regular socket
mm-hmm.
that the stove
mm-hmm.
put plugged in. It's not a special one.
No. And that's where he got this manifold ordered out of one of the little paperback catalogs.
Oh, really?
And it cost about, I'd say $10 or $15 less. And this is heavy duty now. It's a lot heavier, but made bigger. And it made the tractor run better, too, than the original equipment did.
Oh, really?
And, I didn't know.